or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
Nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day, or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
To the Collision, the place where sports and politics collide, here at your home for jazz and justice, WPFW and 89.3 and WBAI in New York City. This is Chuck Modiano here. I'm going to start with the bad news. Tom Thomas and Dave Zirin will not be with us tonight, but we're gonna have a couple of people fill in those gaps. I want to say Dave in particular. Dave Zirin in particular is visiting Mumia in prison, as he has before, and I don't think anything should get in the way, a show or anything else, for such an incredible opportunity. And we look forward to hearing about those visits and what he walked away with in the future. Mumia Abu-Jamal, political prisoner, and people forget the political journalist as well. He was a journalist exposing police terror long before, you know, it became popular to do so here. I mean, it's always been popular in certain spaces, but we really, really look forward to doing that. And, you know, we have a couple of people. We have Katia Stitt. Katia, how are you?
Wonderful. I am wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I'm just so fortified from last night, and I'm happy to be with you this morning, Chuck.
Well, I'm fortified to hear about last night. For people who don't know it, Busboys and Poets, there was a tribute to Asada Shakur. I am so excited to hear about that from Katia. There's no person at protests who's invoked more than Asada Shakur. And many protests end with her chant. There's a reason for that. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about that. And we also know it's Pledge Drive Week. And I'm really excited for our other guest, and that's Maurice Carney. And Maurice Carney, co-founder of Friends of the Congo, I'm really excited because we're going to have a conversation about sports washing. And I've been on a trip. I've been traveling. And you know what I do when I travel? When I travel, I put on WPFW and start listening to the other shows that I've missed. That's how the reason I know that Dr. Gerald Horn is going to be at Montgomery College next tomorrow, Friday. The reason I know that in Silver Spring is because I listened to Tahil D.
Yeah, something happened. It went out. Mike, do I need to start speaking or something? Until he comes. Chuck, I think he was in the middle of saying the reason he knows about the Gerald Horn event is because he listens to WPFW when he's on road trips.
That's right. Okay.
There you go.
Did
there
I come
he
out? Okay, yeah. There I yeah. am. Then I yeah. must have come out, and I'm going to make sure that I'm in a space with a better signal because I've been on road trips, and then we listened to Africa Now. And when I was listening to Africa Now, I heard Maurice Carney talk about sports washing, something we have talked about. We've talked about that with Israel. We've talked about that with other places, sports washing, which is to use sports to help sanitize a terroristic reputation. And he's going to talk about how that's used in the Congo and Rwanda. Maurice, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you great. It is a pleasure to have you on. You know, we talk about Congo here, but I love to talk more about this sports angle. So really, really appreciate you being here to do that. But we're going to start with you, Katia. Katia, you were at the tribute last night at Buzz Boys and Poets in D.C. for Assata Shakur. Your texts were just infused with love and how incredible it was. You were moved to tears. Talk about it.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, before I do that, I just want to urge people to go to the phones right now. Let them know we are needed $650. Someone already got us started. Unfortunately, I cannot thank the person. So we'll say, friend, you know who you are. Thank you so much. We still are in need of $650 for this hour. And the number to call is 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org is the other way that you can connect with us. And so having said that, and I hope that what I'm about to share will really help you to understand the importance, the significance of WPFW on, you know, among those that have given so much for our collective liberation. Last night, there was a beautiful tribute to Assata Shakur. Shout out to Andy Shalal for always creating space, and Alicia Bird. You know, they are no strangers to having these kinds of gatherings, often honoring revolutionary leaders. And Assata certainly was one of those. And she was the only one, when you think about it, that was born free and actually died free, that the state could not capture, could not break. So beautiful tribute. Our own Jackie Lukman from her Darker Than Blue show, but also the chair of Black Alliance for Peace. And the political prisoners, civil rights attorney, and Nkechi Taifa spoke brilliantly, as did Nene Taylor, co-founder of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, as well as Free DC, spoke. Brother Kokai, who many folks know, was actually a comrade and a close friend to Mutulu Shakur and Assata Shakur. And actually, Assata's nieces were there with us last night. It was a beautiful, wow. I mean, like, so special. But and I should say, it was Andy Shalal in conversation with Mark Lamont Hill. And Mark Lamont Hill is just brilliant, you know, and really, you know, echoing everything that Assata, if you've read her work, if you've listened to her interviews, you know, about how we get free and what we need to do. But yeah. The magic moment came. And this is the importance of WPFW, because when someone like Mumia Abu-Jamal, understands the importance of WPFW and knows that we have been rocking with him since day one, since the state started persecuting him and then subsequently has jailed him and really tortured him, refusing health care. Thank God now his eyesight is restored. But for so long, he was nearly blind. And he was a journalist. He is a journalist. He is a journalist. He is a podcaster. He is also one that is constantly still instructing us on how we get free and what the state can do and giving us analysis that we can use. So after Mark Lamont Hill's presentation, as I said, we heard, and Kenny Carroll, poet Kenny Carroll lit it up, as you know, and Ayanna Gregory lit it up. So after Mark Lamont Hill's presentation, Jackie Lukman is in the middle. She just started, not even the middle, the beginning of her presentation. And Mark says to Jackie, whispers in her ear, but loud enough for all of us to hear it. He says, Mumia is calling me now. And I'm going to try to get him to say something to the audience. And we could even hear, this is why we do this work. And this is why you need to support WPFW, because we do this work and we're the only ones doing this work. Let's be clear. The only ones, or one of the few. I mean, there's Black Power Media or Black Liberation Media. There are a few other spaces, but we're one of the spaces. It's really important for this work. So he holds the mic up to the phone and we can hear that message they give when someone from an institution, a correctional institution is calling, you know, you're receiving a call from blah, 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 like that. And then Mumia is on and Mark says, Mumia, we're here. You caught me. We're here celebrating Asada. Can you share a few words with the people? And he did. He did. Oh, it was, I can't even describe it because I understand, and I hope our listeners understand the direct connection between an Asada Shakur, a Lauren Kress-Love, a Greg Millard, a Denise Oliver, a WPFW doing what it does.
Wow.
That is the lineage. And of course, he closed with his signature, with love, not fear, Mumia. And that was live to a crowd of 200 to 300 people. And we were all, I mean, I was bawling. Ayanna was next to me bawling. Nene was on the other side. You know, we were all just filled, astonished. It was a moment that you never, ever forget, like a pivotal moment. And in that moment, we all recommitted to the struggle. You know, we were all like, we are Asada's children. We are Mumia's children. This is what we do. And we are internationalists. So the occupation of D.C., or the occupation of Congo, or Palestine, or Tigray, wherever there is injustice in the world, WPFW will talk about it, will lift it up, and find solutions, help those that are actually creating the solutions be heard so that people can get free. I mean, that is the power of an Mumia Abu-Jamal. And again, I just want to urge people to please make a pledge of support, because it's so very important to have a media outlet that can even speak freely about Mumia Abu-Jamal. He is considered a cop killer. If you listen to other public radio, that is how they start whatever story they have on him. And that, you know, a convicted cop killer, not a journalist, not a political prisoner, not doing good work. And as you said, law exposing police corruption and brutality long before it was popular and a thing. Long before. And this is why he's persecuted by the state and tortured by the state. And what we see, and I'm going to close because not my show, but we see the same thing with these Palestinian prisoners coming out, right? We're not, you know, many of the news outlets, they're mentioning that they're released. First of all, they call them prisoners. And I made a mistake. They're not prisoners. They're detainees. They're hostages because they haven't been charged with anything.
That's right.
You know, almost 1,700 people not charged with anything. No one is reporting on it like that, except WPFW, Pacifica Radio in the nation's capital. So, and this is what the Collision does. I'm bringing it back to the Collision. Yeah. That's what Eton, Dave, and Chuck do every week. Connect the dots for us. So please make that call that makes the difference, 800-222-9739, or you can go online, to WPFWFM.org. $650 to go, folks. Let's make Dave and Eton proud. And Chuck, let's let him breathe easier, knowing that he's already doing a fantastic show, but knowing that he's holding it down for the three of them and holding it down, most importantly, for you, the listener, so you can really know what's up in these streets, you know, in the carceral system, what's really happening, whether we're talking about the carceral system here in the United States or in Palestine, or in Israel, because that's where the carceral state is. That is where Palestinian detainees and hostages are taken. It's all the same carceral system. It's connected. So 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Please make that call. Make it for Mumia. If we could get, wouldn't it be wonderful if 10 people called in making a pledge in honor of Mumia Abu-Jamal? Let's do that together. And I'm going to make a pledge right now in honor of Mumia Abu-Jamal to the Collision. I'll do it online where we're talking.
Thank you, Chuck. You're the one holding it down. Because I really appreciate it. And before I ask the next question of both you and Maurice, because I want to get Maurice's thoughts on Asada before we move to our topic, but just a housekeeping note. I've been in a hotel. I'm so mad I missed yesterday, and I wasn't getting a great signal. So I'm standing in a parking lot because I've been getting a better signal. But if I fade out, fair warning. But what I wanted to add is with regards to Asada, as someone who covers protests regularly in the street, Asada's name is invoked wherever I go. Wherever I go, but with Ferguson, it was invoked. In D.C., it was invoked. I was in Standing Rock. It was invoked. Protests end with honoring Asada with the Asada chant. And what I wanted to ask you is, you know, from your perspective, Katia, and then Maurice, how does that happen? How does somebody who has been exiled for so many years, who's a political prisoner, who was number one on the, quote, terror watch list after 9/11 that was allegedly used for people abroad that was brought back home to call Asada a terrorist. How does someone like that have such resonance in today's movement generations after she was in prison?
Well, as I said, Chuck, I mean, for me, I personally, like, you know, I lift up Asada Shakur. I lift up Harriet Tubman. I lift up Fannie Lou Hamer. I lift up Andre Blouin, who I learned about last year. These were all women that sacrificed greatly so that we could have a chance, you know. And while she was exiled, and thank goodness the Cuban government has never wavered on keeping her safe and not extraditing her and making sure she was protected, right? That also meant that she could not ever come to the U.S. So her family, her friends, her loved ones, I mean, some got there to see her, but, you know, she had to change her life completely. And when you hear her talk about it, it sounds like she made a life there in Cuba, and a successful life and a wonderful life. And most importantly, she was beyond the reach of the state that tries to crush you when just because you want freedom for everyone, just because you want equity for everyone. The capitalist system does not allow for that, because that would mean that the wealthy, these billionaires, have to share, and they don't want to share. They want everything. They want everything. They want all the resources, all the everything. So for us, and for me personally, Asada is a guide on how to do the work. It's also a guide. She also is an example of what sacrifice can look like. It might mean leaving your home country. It might mean losing your life. It might mean, like the three brothers who broke her out of jail, right? It might mean for them sitting in jail the rest of their lives, or close to the rest of their lives, and still not uttering a word about what happened, how they got her free. You know, so that means sacrifice. If I can just echo, I just want to lift up the chant that is heard, because
it is our duty to fight for our freedom, right? I did not say that. Please lift it up.
Yes, it is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. And if I can just bring it back to WPFW, that should be our mantra too. when you're listening to WPFW, you're being informed. Hopefully you're being inspired. You're understanding that another way is possible and we must bring it about. And so, you know, Asada is that compass for us. It's a compass. She is a compass for us. And certainly as a Black woman, she is a compass for me and many, many, many of us. So that's what I have to say. I do want to just throw in there. We want to thank Ramon out of Fort Washington, Maryland. Thank you so much for your pledge of support. So we're down to $600, folks. And I'll give the number one more time. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org. We are one of the ways that you fight for our freedom. We are one of the ways that we can win. And we are one of the ways, WPFW is one of the ways that we can lose our chains and that we can love and support each other. Chuck?
Oh, I appreciate you. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. You've been doing that, Kapia. And so has been Maurice Carney, in particular with relation to the Congo. Maurice, it's great to have you here. Do you have any thoughts on Asada you want to share?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here with you and Katia. Beautiful sister and staunch supporter of not only the work of Friends of Congo, but people on the front lines in the Congo. You had asked the initial question about the presence of Asada Shakur in the consciousness of a younger generation. And Katia rightly contextualized it in that there is no Asada Shakur as we know her today, as Mark Lamont Hill stated last night, born free, transition free. That doesn't happen without the revolutionary government of Cuba. So whenever we talk about Asada and her freedom, we certainly have to offer deep, deep gratitude to the Cuban people for their internationalism, and not only offer gratitude, but draw upon that internationalism to inform how we engage with oppressed, marginalized people throughout the globe, whether it's in Palestine, Sudan, Haiti, or in any other place on the planet. So that's first and foremost. And second, we have to look at formations within the United States, like the Malcolm X grassroots organization. Sada's Brother Mutulu is a founding member of the Malcolm X grassroots, along with a number of young hip-hop leaders who went to visit Asada in Cuba. I was inspired by her. So you see that connection where it's not just solely a question of folks chanting, but it's a product of deep organizing on the part of young brothers and sisters in the hip-hop community, Malcolm X grassroots. It's a product of the continuity of the struggle, recognizing that this younger generation, they have a responsibility to not only acknowledge those who have come before them, but to stand on their shoulders and continue to struggle, because it's not a sprint. It's a long distance run. Yeah. We've worked with, we've launched an initiative with a young brother, Obeg Buna, who uplifting Asada Shakur and Pauline Lumumba in an effort to support Cuban doctors and throughout the African continent. So there's a lot of organizing that has been taking place. And as a result of that organizing, we see the expressions, the verbal expressions and the demonstrations and elsewhere. And it's important to point out, both of you did, that incredibly enough or insanely enough, and that she was put on a terrorist list, and the bounty was raised on her under an administration with a Black president of the United States and a Black attorney general, which should also signal to us that it's what we're facing is systemic in nature. And it's not, I believe there's one professor, I don't know, if there's a viral video that went, I think it was a speech that she had given at Spelman or Morehouse, one of the two universities there in Atlanta, said black faces in high places will not save us. And there's no better example of that than seeing what happened to Asada under black faces in high places.
And I think that was by Dr. Ruja Benjamin, who made that incredible speech. You know, you're absolutely right. And I'm so glad you provided that context, Maurice. I mean, it's just really, really, really rich, and she's ever present. And it's just great to see that. But because, you said, Katia, you know, she paid a great price for that. And that's a sacrifice, and that's a lesson for us. I want to shift. And Maurice, you are the executive director of Friends of the Congo. And, you know, I had the pleasure to meet you. We were watching Friends of the Congo and WPFW. We were watching Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, which was a historical film that everybody should see. Everybody needs to see that. And I think today's conversation is in that context. And for those who haven't seen Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, you really must, and you must, because, you know, even though you may know Patrice Lumumba was assassinated, to understand the United States' role and what went into that and how that plays out today and how that's relevant to today, it's not a historical documentary. It's something we all have to see. And what really got me, you were on Africa Now, the great WPFW show, Africa Now, and you're talking about sports watching, and we don't hear so much about that with relation to the Congo. So could you tell us the status of what is going on with the Congo and how maybe sports has a relationship to that?
Sure. You know, you're so right in terms of what we see in the Congo today is a product of both U.S. hard power, where we're talking about, when we say hard power, meaning U.S. military, U.S. intelligence, that was mobilized in an unprecedented fashion in the 1960s, where the United States mounted the largest covert action in the world to remove the democratically elected prime minister of the Congo, Patrice Emery Lumumba. Much in a similar vein to efforts that the United States had led, removal of Mossadegh in Iran, or Allende in Chile, or Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala. Lumumba falls in that category of democratically elected leaders that were overthrown by the CIA through covert means. And what that overthrow of Lumumba in 1960, the United States then imposed a dictatorship on the Congolese people by the name of Joseph Désiré Mobutu. And as a result of the overthrow and the imposition of the dictatorship, we see what we have in Congo today, a weakened state, a beleaguered people, because that was what the United States triggered, continued right up into the 1990s, where the dictator that they imposed on the Congolese people, he was ailing, and it was clear he was going to be no longer going to sustain himself in power. So the United States backed an invasion of the Congo in order to impose their interests on the Congolese people. And two primary agents of neocolonialism, the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, and the president of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, led that effort. And they've waged a 30-year war of aggression and plunder against the Congolese people, which has produced the deadliest conflict in the world since World War II, when estimated 6 million Congolese have perished. Now, the Clinton administration was deeply ensconced in this effort. And they dubbed these leaders, Kagame and Museveni, they called them the Renaissance leaders, new breed of African leaders, pan-African leaders. So as they were killing Africans in the Congo, clamping down on their own population, the United States put the imprint, an imprimatur, a stamp on them as good world citizens. Now, combined with that stamp on the part of the United States on what are really sociopaths, that's again, hard to find another word to describe Kagame and Museveni. In addition to that stamp from the United States, there was a high-octane propaganda machine that was unleashed where those Rwanda in particular would engage sports figures and entertainment figures around the world in order to present itself as a good global citizen. So they entered into sponsorship deals with the Arsenal football team in England, Bayern in Germany, Paris Saint-Germain in France. They invited entertainers into Rwanda like Dave Chappelle and Kendrick Lamar, John Legend. So presenting Rwanda as a good citizen while participating in what the United Nations said, if brought in front of a competent court, the Rwandan soldiers and their activities in the Congo could be brought up for charges of genocide. This is a report that the United Nations published in 2010 called the UN Mapping Exercise Report. So this stamp on the part of the United States, this engagement with entertainers, these sponsorship of sports teams, and most recently the Los Angeles Rams and Los Angeles Clippers joined the effort in terms of sponsorship for Visit Rwanda. What it has done is helped to do anyways, cleanse the image of Rwanda among the citizens of the world. So that is where we don't see the underbelly of the killing, the raping, the plunder that Rwandan soldiers are carrying out in the Congo. And when it's not just Friends of the Congo saying this, that on February 25th of this year, the United Nations passed a resolution, the Security Council. I encourage people to look it up. UN Resolution 2773, where the entire United Nations Security Council, 15-0, unanimous vote, we're talking about the US, China, Russia, everybody, said Rwandan soldiers must leave the Congo immediately, without any conditions, and yeah, cease its support of militia groups inside of the Congo. So this is what this is these kind of crimes that Rwanda attempts to cover through its sports washing.
That's right, and I want.
Is that we lost Chuck Katia.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump in and again urge people to make that call that makes the difference. The number is 800-222-9739, or you can go online to wpfwfm.org. And we are still in need of, excuse me, wait a minute. We now only need $450, and we have some folks to thank. We want to say thank you to Kelly, who appreciates the general managers. I think, Kelly, you're getting this. People get Miyuki and I mixed up all the time. That was actually me speaking. I'm the program director. But we appreciate your passion, Kelly. Thank you so much. And Nick, who says, great show always. And Kelly also talks about the truth and honesty and passion in what we do. And we so appreciate that as well. The number to call is, again, 800-222-9739, wpfwfm.org, $450 to make this goal. And we have about 27 minutes to do it. And we can do it together, folks. Our guest today, I say our guest, I know Chuck, I think, or Chuck, are you there?
I'm back. Yeah.
Okay,
I slipped out
great
with the connection. So yeah,
yes,
I'm here.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. And I wanted to engage a little more on the sports washing. But before I do that, Maurice, we were in conversation and something crystallized where I believe you said something similar to, you have to think about Rwanda as the Israel of Africa. Can you talk about those parallels as you see it?
Oh, yes. The parallels are striking. In the sense that both Israel, the Israeli people, the Jewish people in Israel, have been victims of genocide. Rwandans have been victims of genocide. And both leaders, Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and Paul Kagame of Rwanda have weaponized genocide to carry out a genocide against another people, right? They've used genocide as a cover in an attempt to shield themselves from the war crimes, the mass atrocities, the plunder, the genocide that they're committing. And they're not alone in this, in that they're backed by the U.S. government and institutions within the United States, where they get financing, training, they get equipment, you name it. And of course, as we've seen play out in a devastating way, the United Nations, they get political and diplomatic cover from the empire, right? So they fit in that category. That's why you see even institutions here in the United States, when they mobilize folks to go on propaganda missions to Israel, they also stop in Rwanda. Just in 2024 or 2023, we saw members of the Congressional Black Caucus, for example. They were a Jewish group within the United States organized to take them to Israel. After Israel, then they descended to Rwanda in Kigali. So the two nations are bound in this way, in that they benefit from the gangster cover of the United States. And Rwanda is always quick to be of service, both to the United States and to Israel. When Israel wanted to offload, get rid of its asylees, those folks that it's deporting, Rwanda stepped up and said, hey, you can send them to Rwanda. We'll take them here. You know, just as Rwanda now is stepping up to Donald Trump and saying, hey, you know, you can send your asylees, deportees here to Rwanda. And Iraqi has already been sent to Rwanda, and they're looking to receive more. So both nations are tethered to the empire, and they're able to do what they do, the destructive practices, the war crimes, the atrocities, the crimes against humanity, genocide. They're able to do that only and because of the cover that they get from the United States.
That's right. The cover that they get.
You know, they both benefit from U.S. taxpayer dollar as they commit crimes. That's why we mount a campaign to say, you know, on freecongo.org, reach out to your members of Congress, tell them cease their support, pressure your member of Congress, cease their support, their financial support of the Rwandan government. And of course, the same for the Israeli.
Yeah, well thank you. That context is very, very important, extremely important. It crystallized it for me. And going back to the use of sports to sanitize Rwanda's position, this use of entertainers, you know, it's obviously not new. When we saw the documentary soundtrack of a coup d'etat, jazz players Dizzy Gillespie, Louis Armstrong, and others were used to sanitize the reputation. It opened my eye at that time that this is nothing new. Could you talk about maybe some of those parallels and why sports and entertainment, how does it become a cover to do genocide and worse, and assassinations and worse? How does that work? Some people don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, the way it works is that powerful nations, or just nations period, they have two dominant ways of exercising power, you know, to meet their interests. And there's a professor, I think he's from Harvard, by the name of Joseph Nye. He came up with a theory around power. It talks about, on the one hand, hard power, which is represented by your military and your intelligence apparatus. And then you have soft power, which is represented by culture. And it is through those two means that nations are able to pursue their interests. And the United States in particular has used soft power, the culture, particularly the culture of its formerly enslaved population, Africans in America, in the United States, the soft power of the people whose people that they're security apparatus is gunning down in the streets and forcing Black people in the United States to live in a state of terror. They use their culture because the culture is embraced. If you just look around the world, how jazz and hip hop and just the music and entertainment of Black folks in the United States is embraced. And they use that to promote their interests globally, whereby people love Black culture. Therefore, they're enrolled in the notion that the United States love Black people and are supportive of Black people. Therefore, the United States is a good, global citizen. So that's the extent to which soft power is used by the United States. And then you have Israel, then you have Saudi Arabia, you have the United Arab Emirates, you have Rwanda, all drawing from the U.S. playbook, right? Look at Saudi Arabia, for example. You're a journalist, as well. You remember when Saudi Arabia went after Khashoggi and just mutilated them in a devastating fashion.
That's right.
And then at the same time, they engaged the Pro Golfers Association and recruited golfers from the Pro Golfers Association to start a golf league called LIV. Right. So then now Saudi Arabia is associated with LIV and disassociated from the heinous crimes that they committed against Khashoggi. Right.
That's right.
So it puts that dominant narrative. You see a musician and a sports team and you associate them with their sponsor, like Visit Rwanda, Air Qatar, the whole bit. And you no longer associate them with the crimes that they're committing or have committed either locally or globally.
That's a great example. And even at the most recent Terrence Crawford, Canelo Alvarez fight in Vegas, the relationship has been entered with Saudi Arabia to enter boxing the way it has been done with golf. So people are going to see more and more of that. Katia, any thoughts, questions? Do you hear me?
We may have lost Katia.
Okay, so we may have lost Katia. So I had to.
She's probably taking a sponsor call. Somebody donating.
That's right.
WPFW. That's take a moment just to encourage folks out there to continue to support WPFW. I mean, I just get, Chuck, we do a lot of organizing really all over the world. And I'd be hard pressed to identify a space where we're able to come on and share the work that we're doing. But not only that, bring people from the front lines in the Congo to articulate the challenges that they face, the prescriptions that they're implementing. And that's made possible by WPFW. And the only way that's possible is through the support of the listening audience. That's why it's so crucial for us to support these independent institutions like WPFW, because the corporate media is not going to be given folks inside the Congo the opportunity to share the work that they're doing, to articulate the aspirations for their people in the country where the United States overthrew their first democratically elected prime minister. That's not going to happen on the corporate media. So it's so vital that people continue to contribute and donate to WPFW, people powered radio.
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Katia.
I just want to jump in here because, Maurice just did the pitch for us. But I want to just, the power of what you do, though, Chuck, is present. Ramon, who started us off, came back around and gave another pledge. And he says, longtime listener of The Collision with Eitan and Dave, but I really like the addition of Chuck. And so as do many. So thank you, Ramon. We are still in need of $440 and we have 17 minutes to do it, y'all. We can do this together. And again, think about making a pledge of support in honor of Assata Shakur, in honor of the people of Congo who are on the front lines, organizing and mobilizing to get themselves free, in honor of Mumia Abu-Jamal, still instructing us behind prison walls. In honor of maybe someone in your life that you know that does this kind of good work, because, we know that and we see it in the cities, the way folks are keeping each other safe, keeping our immigrant families safe, making sure that ICE can't get hands on them. So We have many, 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 many freedom fighters, names we know and that we don't know. Maurice and the work that he does is a freedom fighter, you know, and the rest of Carrie and Paul, the rest of Friends of the Congo, and has inspired another generation of Congolese youth here in the United States doing this work. There's Team Congo, there's Future of Congo, all young people, but inspired by Friends of the Congo that have been here for decades doing this work and connecting us to those on the front line. So please give as generously as you can right now, $440. I think if we have two people, if I'm not mistaken with my math, becoming sustaining members at the $22.50 level, we will exceed today's goal, you know, and that is an easy way to do it because we also know folks are hurting right now with the government shut down, with those laid off. You know, there's a lot happening, but WPFW is critical, critical to political education and to liberation. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. If you learned something today in this discussion about sports washing, you know, there's also entertainment washing. We'll get to that in the next program. But if you learned something today, pick up the phone and support that which is supporting you. 800-222-9739 or go to the computer, WPFWFM.org, $440 to go. Chuck?
Yeah, and not just the Collision. You check out the other shows. You're going to learn something. I always learn something. I used to have just a nationalist lens, a myopic lens. America's only 4% of the world population. There's a 96% of the world population. And what America does abroad instructs what America does at home. What we are allowed to get away with outside the borders always comes back home to roost inside the borders, whether that is Gaza as a laboratory to police and stop cop cities here to what is going on in Congo. It all comes back home. And it's very important to understand that, not take as long as I took to understand that. But, you know, with that, you know, when I go to a Free Palestine rally over the years, the asks are very direct or something. It's stop arming Israel. You know, United States, stop funding Israel. Or it's stop vetoing UN votes to have a ceasefire, and so forth. It's always very direct. Congo is a little more difficult for a lot of people to get their hands around. So, Maurice, people say to me, how can I help? What can I do? I'm not quite sure. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, Congo is a little more, there's a distinction with Congo, in large part, because as we want to stop certain things, like we have people go to freecongo.org right now, freecongo.org. As soon as they get there, there's a letter to members of Congress to stop financing Rwanda, right? So that's a direct ask to people. If you're Los Angeles Rams, Los Angeles, Clippers fan, you know, reach out to the Clippers and tell them to stop their relationship, cease their relationship with Rwanda, right? Who's committing crimes against the Congolese people. So there's that aspect of Congo, which is important. However, Congo, understanding Congo, Chuck, it's a country that's spectacularly endowed with strategic and critical minerals, right? So that the world covets. If you're talking about energy transition, Congo's cobalt is indispensable to your electric vehicle, to your solar panels, your wind turbines, the whole bit. So the Congolese people on the front lines are organizing to control their land, control their resources, control their wealth for their benefit in particular, and for the benefit of Africa overall. Right. Congo is really the fulcrum in which the African continent swings. It's the heart, the industrial engine that can power the continent to an entirely new level. So the Congolese people who are organizing on the front lines, we encourage people, we mobilize people to support them on the front line. And they can go to freecongo.org as well to do that. And supporting them means amplifying their voices, making contributions to their work, inviting them into their communities, whether you're a faith institution, your university, grassroots organization, a peace group, a climate group, you just name it. We need to stand behind and stand in support of those on the front lines who are organizing to recapture their country, to recapture their land, recapture their wealth. So that's an added element that distinguishes Congo really from a lot of other areas that are under tremendous pressure from the empire, because there's just so much wealth there and the country is so vital to the future of the African continent that the ultimate answer for freedom, liberation, and sovereignty is the people on the front lines, the local communities, indigenous communities, regaining control of their land, their wealth, and their resources. And we can be in solidarity and support of that effort in their pursuit for that sovereign land.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying. I'm on board, and yet I feel very hypocritical. And because right now I'm speaking through an iPhone. We know Kobo makes iPhone. What do you say to people like me who are sort of on board, and others in their consumerism have sort of been complicit in some way? What is there things that could be done to mitigate that?
Well, I think people who are looking to mitigate their conspicuous consumption, right? That goes well beyond the Congo. To mitigate your conspicuous consumption should be a battle to confront capitalism, right?
Right.
And your overall effort is not solely your, well, we'll stick with your conspicuous consumption. Some of you may be familiar with the degrowth movement, where people are withdrawing their support from these products that come out every new year, whether it's Apple, and it's all across the board, right? It's Apple, it's Samsung, it's Huawei, all of them. There is no distinction.
Maurice, it's amazing when you see the parallels to who's complicit in the Congo and who's complicit in Israel and supporting their genocide. The same names and industries seem to pop up.
Yeah, they're global in scope. So we encourage people, certainly in an effort to combat capitalism and starve the beast, to consume responsibly, right? At the same time, Chuck, we want you to use that tool that you have in your hand to not to feel guilty, right? But to mobilize. You're like, okay, I'm benefiting. You know, there are child laborers in the Congo. You know, there's a attorney in Washington, D.C. that has brought a suit against Apple and Tesla and Dell and Microsoft, right? Which we should support. But we also want you to use that tool that you have in your hand to mobilize people, to organize, to spread the word about what's happening in the Congo, what Congolese are doing on the front lines to bring about change. So we're not looking to guilt people. We're looking to reach out to people for them to be empowered to use what they have in their hands in order to support the work that's being done on the front lines.
I agree. And I've also heard that maybe it's better to buy some older phones, not the newest brand. Is there some value to that in your mind?
There's value to that if you are looking to exercise your better consumption practices, right? When it comes, as it relates to having an impact on the Congo, stopping the vape, buying refurbished phones, or all that, it will not have an impact on the conflict in the Congo. Okay. That will not. Loads of studies that demonstrate that will not have an impact on the conflict in the Congo. However, if you use that phone to sign up to send a letter to the member of Congress or to call on the U.S. government, U.S. members of Congress to stop financing the war in the Congo, that would be a very constructive use.
That's right. Katia? Okay, so Katia did tell me she's... There you go. You're back.
I'm fine. Yeah, I just want to... I mean, all that Maurice says is right. And I would say, but limiting our consumption in general, because most of what we see in terms of all of these genocides, conflicts, the root of it is usually resources, land and resources. So the less we consume, the less there is this need to do this kind of raping and pillaging that we see going on all around the world, imperialism and settler colonialism. happening, of course, also at the root. I wanted to...
If I may just quickly say something about that.
Absolutely,
too, as well,
please, please.
And Chuck and Katia, yes. Is that it is so critical for us to understand that, you know, we put the burden on the consumers, but the bulk of these resources mm-hmm. are being used to power the military industrial complex.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Congo's cobalt and uranium and coltan are used for military purposes. So as we talk about to folks about consumption, we need to talk to them about mobilizing to put pressure on this military industrial complex that is deeply extractive in the global south, and at the same time robs the American taxpayer of dollars that should go to education, health, housing, right? So we cannot leave the military component out of this discussion. It's not solely the corporations, but the extractivism powers the military, which is utilized to repress people globally, kill people globally, but also robs the American citizen of what their taxpayers should deliver to them. Healthcare, housing, education, all that is so critical for folks to understand in this discussion around extractivism.
Thank you. Thank you, Maurice. I just want to quickly, we still are in need of $440. You all, 5 minutes to go. We can make this goal. And you don't have to stop at 11 a.m. You can continue to support the Collision after 11 a.m. so that we can make the goal. $440 to go. 800-222-9739. I know this has been a riveting discussion, chock full of information and education, and it may be hard to pledge and listen, but that is exactly what we're asking you to do. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org to support the Collision, to support that which supports you and the fine work today of Chuck Modiano. $440 to go, Chuck.
800-222-9749. 800-222-9739. Listen, anything you could provide is deeply appreciated. Maurice, it's so great to have you on the show. And I'm going to have to just keep listening to other WPFW shows so that we could keep this all connected together. So we're told to wrap up, but we're going to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. And we encourage people to join us for Congo Week. Go to congoweek.org.
Congo Week, that's right. Congo
they can join us. And we're going to be going in an in-depth discussion with our sister Eleanor at Red Emma's in Baltimore this Sunday at 2 o'clock. So we encourage people to come out and see us at Red Emma's in Baltimore at 2 o'clock. And they can get information on congoweek.org if they want to meet us and learn more about what we're doing around the whole question of sports washing.
Okay, sports washing, 2 p.m., Baltimore, Red Emma's. Making it legit, and when my pen hit the paper, pause.
I stop to stand strong over MCs and devour with the power. Hey, DC, we're reigniting the spirit of unity in our community beginning Monday, October 13th through Saturday, October 19th, by commemorating the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March and Unifest, two iconic events that shaped our history and continue to inspire our future. Events include prayer calls, a torch run, a lantern peace walk, a recommitment service, and a mini Unifest at Union Temple Baptist Church. This is an opportunity to honor the past and build bridges for a united future for our children and families, reviving the values of the Million Man March and Unifest. Details at UnionTempleDC.com.
This Sunday, October 19, 2 to 4 p.m., Friends of the Congo and WPFW, in partnership with Red Emma's, Project Censored, Africa World Know Project, the Advocacy Network for Africa, present Sports Washing, unveiling propaganda on the field and in the media at Red Emma's Bookstore and Cafe, 3128 Greenmount Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. Rwanda, Israel, and the UAE are among the leading human rights violators using sports and entertainment to cleanse their crimes, i.e., sports washing. Eleanor Goldfield, Project Censored co-host and associate producer, will moderate a discussion on sports washing and the role of the U.S. government and corporate media in covering for crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide in Gaza, Sudan, and Congo. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi there, this is Tata from Rhizome DC. I want to tell you about an important exhibit that's on the view at the MLK Library through December. It's about artist-run, non-commercial DIY spaces in the district, covering history from the 70s to today. On the weekend of October 18th and 19th, we will activate the exhibit with the DIY in DC Festival,